Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Okay, welcome to the show. It is Greeny here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app, presented by Progressive Insurance, along with Hembo. Evan going in for Greeny today. Oh my God, a lot going on today. We are pumped up. We got the Masters going on right now. ESPN, ESPN Plus, ESPN Deportes with all of the coverage. Final weekend of the NBA season. We've got the latest on Shohei Ohtani and his interpreter, as well as a brand new basketball coach at Kentucky. But Hembo, we are officially friends.
We lunched. We lunched, and the duration of the lunch, Cam and Bubba, you'll be happy to hear, lasted longer than 1 hour.
It did.
So we are officially in the friend zone.
Yes, we are. And you have noted, which I find very interesting, that on our show rundown, one Cam Pratt has officially been broken. Explain why.
So Cam Pratt, noted big sports fan and noted not so big Hembo and Evan bull bleeping fan, decided even so to lead the show with our one place to start being our lunch, which can only mean, Evan, we have prevailed. We have finally broken.
It's a losing battle, boys.
The ultra serious sports fan, Cam Pratt.
All right. So let's dive into this.
Yeah.
We do the show yesterday, which was certainly a unique show with the death of O.J. Simpson that happened during the course of the show yesterday. And we left the building, and Hembo, who used to live near here at the Seaport, picked a place to go to. It's a good place, kind of a sports bar-y kind of place. We walk in. The place is so dark, we cannot see each other when we walk in. The music is so loud, we could not hear each other when we were there. And his goal was to find out if any of the televisions were either delayed on the app or maybe running a rerun of Get Up so he could see himself.
My favorite thing to do is to be in a sports bar with a rerun of Get Up and for me to be watching it and for someone in the sports bar to notice that the guy on TV is the guy sitting next to him. We didn't pull it off yesterday because we weren't at the bar itself, but it is a very conceited thing that I pursue.
Yes. In addition, he picked a table which had his seat elevated and my seat lowered. So in this pitch black sports bar with music so loud, he's literally looking down on me both literally and physically.
Yeah. I like it. Asserting some dominance.
Yeah, so everything that I do is intentional. There is nothing in life, at least nothing that matters, that I ever do that is unintentional. So everything about this lunch was set up for me to thrive, for me to have the upper hand.
Right.
And that's exactly what happened.
Well, okay, and then we sat down, and he's looking down on me, and we were just reviewing a couple of notes from about the show because it was one of the most unique shows either of us have ever been a part of, right? You don't have a Hall of Fame football player, Heisman Trophy winner, alleged murderer die while you're in the doing a show too often. And let's hope that never happens again because we're not looking for people to get murdered. And we had the conversation about, hey, we think we handled this pretty well. He then says to me, no offense, I can be good with anyone. Okay, well, that took my legs out from underneath me as the fill-in guy.
I said no offense.
You think there's no offense to the idea that you could just be good with anyone?
No, what's the point of using the phrase no offense if not to not offend you?
What I have something different that I do. I actually lead with offense. If I'm going to be offensive, I'm going to tip you off.
It wasn't offensive.
It's kind of offensive.
It was a statement of fact. I thought we did a great show, and I thought I could have done a great show independent of who was on the other side.
But I'm sitting there with you as you're saying that.
So I should say that to someone else about you.
Probably. I guess I appreciate.
By the way,
the
Cam,
honesty.
This was before the waiter had even showed up.
Yes. That is true.
This is an eventful lunch.
Yeah, we haven't even started.
We haven't started the lunch.
And then, before I hand it off to Hembo, for the actual lunch part, we're just in the pregame at this point. At this point, I get a text message from my buddy Mark Silverman, Waddle and Sylvie, ESPN 1000.
I kind of like that guy.
So I said to Hembo, wow, got a really nice text from Sylvie just now. By the way, he loves you. Thinks you're great. Normally someone, a human, breathing, normal person, non-alien would say, wow, that's awesome. Somebody that is that nice, has been through an amazing amount of things in his life, that is that courageous, is that talented, is that successful, is that kind of family man and great in this industry. Normally, someone would then say, wow, that's really nice. I appreciate that. Thanks so much. His response to me saying that Sylvie thinks he's great, I gathered that. I gathered that.
I could not possibly have been less gracious.
You were right response. About that.
The worst thing about all of this is that, Cam, Bubba, these are just my instincts. Like, there's nothing nefarious here. There's nothing put on here. Like, I'm just saying the thing that first comes to mind. It's not, oh, I feel the same way about that guy. Or, that's super nice of him to say. It's, oh, yeah, I already knew that he thought that highly of me. I'm just the worst friggin' guy.
Can you imagine saying that to someone when someone is kind enough to say things nice about you and your response is, I gathered that?
like I didn't even need you to share.
No.
I already knew.
No.
I already knew that
right,
Sylvie loved me.
Yes. So we now have the menus in front of us. The waiter comes over. Yes, go
priced
ahead.
Very oddly, I might
I've
add.
Never seen... Great observation, even though I made it. I've never seen anything like this. They had cash prices and credit card prices on this menu for different items. So, and they weren't like significantly different. It was like grilled chicken sandwich, $12 for cash, $12.43 for a credit card. Why even bother putting that on there? The 43 cent difference for cash versus credit they have on the menu. I've never seen anything like
that. It was so weird. Like, I've been to places.
You're being transparent.
Yeah, you're being transparent.
I gather that.
But Bubba, the differences were inconsequential. Never more than $1.
It's a very small difference.
Right.
I certainly agree with that.
So, like, yes, it's very honest, but, like, I think all of that could have gone without being said. That's my opinion about the menu.
Yeah, I mean, I would expect if they're going to do that, it's going to be a larger gap. But...
Exactly right.
right.
Exactly right.
And this is when the first cardinal sin occurred.
Okay.
Bubba. All right. He did the thing that you cannot do. He ordered the exact same thing I did.
Don't like
it. And I could tell he didn't want to.
That is
cardinal sin number one.
That is such a lie. Cardinal sin one. We went to, I don't even know if I heard your order. It was so loud in that restaurant. I could barely see the menu. I saw chicken and I ordered it. I was going to order that. You happened to order first. I didn't order it because of you.
No.
I did chuckle.
No.
Knowing we were about to order the same thing.
None of this is true. Like
it
you don't
was
have
good,
to,
by the way.
You don't. It was good.
Yeah, good.
It
sandwich.
Was pretty good. You don't have to be dishonest with our audience here because
I'm dishonest. You're being dishonest about me being dishonest.
No, you're not. You're not telling the truth.
I am telling the truth.
But here's why I know he's not telling the truth. First of all, when the waiter came by and asked if we'd like anything to drink, I said water's fine. He took a second. Yeah, water's fine for me too.
So I was no. Oh my god.
Did anything I just said untrue?
Keep going. I want to hear where this goes before I say
this. Sounds like he can hear you.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, he could vaguely hear. So, Evan, if you wanted to drink something other than water,
I didn't.
Decided not to, directly because I only drank water. Secondly, I order the Caribbean jerk sandwich, okay? I order it with a side salad instead of fries. Mm-hmm. Evan gets the same sandwich with nothing on it, so he didn't like the sandwich. He didn't want the sandwich. He cleaned it. It was bread and chicken.
And cheese.
Bread and dry chicken and cheese.
That's what I eat.
No topping.
Anyone that's listening that knows me knows that is literally what I eat.
And then gets the side salad instead of fries and says to the waiter, I'm doing that because if I don't get the salad, that guy will judge me.
Oh, no, that's true.
All of it's true.
Well, if I got fries, you would judge me.
Yeah, but I mean,
yeah, but that's the point.
No,
I don't
want to
be judged.
You should eat what you want to eat.
I can't
you
in
got
front
this,
of you.
You didn't just get the same sandwich as me. You also got a salad instead of fries because of me.
I can't eat what I want to eat because of you.
You should
because
have ordered
you're
first. Judge,
you're too judgmental, and I'm too insecure. It's a bad combination.
But you're in good shape. You're doing just fine for yourself. Why are you insecure about eating French fries at lunch?
It's not that I'm insecure about eating French fries. I mean, I'm insecure about eating French fries with you. Because you're a judger of others.
All right, I got to jump in here.
Please.
And ask a question. Evan, during this lunch, tweeted at 12:24 p.m., 1:05 p.m., 1:06 p.m., 1:17 p.m., and the lunch seemed to conclude at 1:28 p.m.
Right.
Hembo responded to one of these tweets at 12:25 p.m., the first tweet that you sent. Did you guys talk at all, or were we just tweeting play-by-play back and
asked.
Forth to each other
I'm
during
glad
the lunch?
You asked.
I know you couldn't hear each other, so there might not have been a point in talking at all, but it seemed like you were just on your phones tweeting what was happening, even though nothing was really happening.
Cam, Great observation. Great question. You are a very smart man. We know that. Did we talk at lunch? Let me just make one slight alteration. I was able to tweet because someone was talking the entire time with not a single question mark used ever. Meaning, Hembo asked me nothing. Hembo had an agenda to a point that when we got done with this lengthy, professional, healthy conversation that we had, he said, I had one other thing for you. So he could claim that he was not ready for this lunch or mad that I sent a calendar invite. He had an agenda.
I did. And that
there was an agenda on the lunch.
By the way, Cam, and the thing that I had forgotten until one was I wanted his help to get me on MLB Network.
That is true. You waited. Okay. I wasn't going to bring that up, but you okay.
Oh, I don't care.
He waited an hour. And I realized what the lunch was about. I thought, we've been working together. We now are friends because of the big lunch. I didn't pick up on what this lunch was always about. It had nothing to do with getting to know me better. It had nothing to do with us getting to know each other better. It simply had to do with the fact, I was never going to bring this up, I'm so glad you did, that for the last 12 years prior to coming here to ESPN, where did I work? I worked at SiriusXM's Mad Dog Sports Radio. We are on SiriusXM Channel 80 as we speak. He literally said to me after an hour, you know Mad Dog well, don't you? I said, yeah. I mean,
what a non sequitur.
Yeah. He said, do you think you can help me get on High Heat? And I said, I'm sorry, what? That's his television show on MLB television. To which he then says, I think he likes me.
Yeah, we gathered that.
Cam, I looped him up for an hour to try to get on High Heat.
I never saw this coming. I got to be honest with you. I never saw that curveball coming.
What a twist.
Follow-up question. Have you reached out to Chris Mad Dog Russo about getting Hembo on High Heat?
No, I did. Another great one from you, Cam. I flipped the script. What did I tell you have to do now?
Am I allowed to share?
I said, well, I don't know what you're going to share, so I'm going to say no on that.
Hembo has to get you on Get Up?
No. Oh, that's a good trade. No, that was not the follow-up.
You might be busy during that time, yeah. I think.
No, I said to him, I said, listen, you got to remind me next Wednesday when Dog is here and I will talk to him about it. I'm not going to separately reach out because it's going to be weird considering we publicized this lunch.
<You're right. laughs>
So I actually gave him homework because I have to have it come up by accident with Dog next Wednesday.
Right. So when he's confronting Mad Dog, like next Wednesday, it seems like
by the way.
Coincidental timing. Yeah. Not after we've live tweeted our lunch.
Yeah.
Evan, can you give me just like 15 seconds of a Mad Dog impression to you asking if Hembo can be on High Heat?
Okay, so we're talking about something else. He's going through his travel, as he always does. And I say, all right, you know, Chris, you know, I thought about something here. Listen, I'm not trying to tell you what to do or anything. You're a radio Hall of Famer. I don't want to tell you what to do. But, like, you know, Hembo, it could be a good, interesting spot maybe for you on High Heat. Who's this now? You know the guy with Greeny? Give me a couple of minutes on it. He's got the spiked hair, very weird. Oh, you could do that. I don't love it. He's a little boring, too stats oriented. I don't need to sit here and talk about 03. I didn't love the book. He got a couple of things wrong in the book. Didn't love that.
Oh my
gosh. I'll do it with Greeny. I can't do it with Hembo.
Forget Joey Molinaro. Your Chris Mad Dog Russo is impeccable.
That was a two of the force.
Okay, it's so good.
That was beautifully done.
By the way, I got a note from our friend Ray Dinahan in 98.7. The governor of New York passed a law, and that's why that stuff was on the menu. The businesses are required in New York to post before checkout the total price of an item or service, inclusive of the credit card surcharge, or a two-tiered pricing option, which requires the credit card price to be posted alongside the cash price. A new law, December 13th, 2023. So there you go.
How come Ray is an all-time good guy? That guy has helped me so much in my career. So shout out to Ray, and thank you for listening on 98.7 here in New York. How come that is the only restaurant that has that, though?
Can you just
this random bar is the only restaurant
the
that has it?
Also, can you just repair the Holland Tunnel first before you worry about that?
No, this,
come
is, far,
on.
This is far more important.
I got to listen to Hembo about a lunch. Oh, God. This guy. No, Hembo, nobody cares about your lunch. Give me a couple of minutes on Blake Snell's start with the Giants, then I'll listen to you.
The who's this now is my favorite who's thing this ever.
So what other faux pas did I actually commit considering you used me to get the dog?
The other faux pas is that you rushed me.
How did I rush you?
Guys, after he finished the first half of his sandwich, the same one that I ate, and I wasn't quite done with the first half, he stopped and said, oh no, I have to wait for you to start because I'm beating you. I'm here enjoying my lunch. This was supposed to be an elongated period of get-to-know-you time.
No, and it wasn't.
Before you asked for a favor.
My sandwich.
It was high heat. High heat. It's just about high heat.
Why did you rush me? I was enjoying myself.
Because you're very judgmental, and I was nervous that you were going to judge me, so I was calling myself out for eating so fast
before
you could do it.
In fairness, I didn't really have much chance to eat with all the talking I was doing.
Did you ask me one question? Think about this.
Yes, he asked you if you could get him on high heat with Mad Dog.
I'm sorry, Cam.
No, I don't think I asked that. I think I said, I want you to.
It was more of a demand.
I think it was a declarative statement.
Yeah,
it wasn't interrogative.
That's the lunch. We're officially friends, and now I have to be his agent as a result. Starting Stronger starts at AutoZone, where they've got battery solutions in the form of free battery testing, free battery charging, and replacement batteries that fit your needs. That's what makes them America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Coming up, there's more than one team that could draft a QB that you may not be thinking of. We'll get to that next. It's Greeny on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who have experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Greeny, GREENY.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by.
Greeny, the podcast.
It is Greeny on ESPN Radio. And the ESPN app. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, along with Hembo, Evan Cohen in for Greeny today. Normally you hear me with Michelle Smallman and Chris Canty on Sportsman like 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern here on ESPN Radio. Our lunch certainly got it done yesterday, like Grainger.
Yeah, for the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
It would be malpractice for the Dallas Cowboys not to address the quarterback situation in the draft.
I think this is a situation where the Dallas Cowboys, they can't reach for a quarterback because they have other needs on this team that they have to fill.
If this is a last dance, why wouldn't you want to draft a quarterback and then have that be a competition?
We are 2 weeks away from round two of the NFL draft. 2 weeks from today, I will be in Detroit for the draft with the Unsportsmanlike crew. And we will be reacting to what happens in round one and looking ahead to round two. Do I think the Dallas Cowboys will draft a quarterback in rounds one and two of the draft? Probably not. Adam Schefter, senior NFL insider on NFL Live. When will they?
Now, a lot of people say, well, what about Jerry? What are they going to do at quarterback if they lose Dak? That's interesting. And that's why I think the Dallas Cowboys might just be a sleeper team in the quarterback market during the draft. Because at some point in time, they might have to draft a quarterback higher than you'd think at some point in time. Because Dak is going into the last year of the contract, and it might be time to get somebody in there to start grooming him. Just like they found Dak Prescott in round four, might be time to go find another quarterback in another round to begin to get him ready.
Well, the Dallas Cowboys have the 24th pick in the first round overall of the NFL draft. We don't assume that they are going to take a quarterback at that pick. We obviously don't know if someone's going to drop where they may get tempted to do so. They also have the 56th pick overall. That is in the second round. You know, ESPN.com is a story with some QB rules that I put together. It's featured on ESPN.com.
Ingenious.
And drafting a QB when you want one, not when you need one, is one of my big QB rules, Hembo. This is interesting. The Cowboys are kind of in the gray area of if you want one or need one, because Dak Prescott is only under contract for this season. So they have actually found themselves in an in-between of drafting a QB when you want one, not when you need one. I'll give you an example here. The Atlanta Falcons worked out Michael Penix, if I'm not mistaken, recently. Will they take him at number 8? No. But I don't know. If they trade down and they get multiple picks, could they take Michael Penix? Sure. Do they need a quarterback? No, they just signed Kirk Cousins. Do they want one? Absolutely. How about the Rams? The Rams are sitting there in the first round, and they have Matthew Stafford. He's talked about retirement a bunch. He's got the 19th pick. They have the 19th pick in the first round. Do they need one? No. Do they want one? Maybe. The Cowboys may need one in a year, though. That's where this becomes very interesting.
Very interesting. But here's the circle that I cannot square. I am old enough to remember a time, because I am more than 8 months old, old enough to remember a time when the Cowboys traded their fourth round pick this year for Trey Lance. There is nobody in the industry more reputable than Adam Schefter. So if he says the Cowboys could be a sleeper team in the draft this year for a quarterback, I'm going to take him at his word. But what about the Trey Lance of it all? My assumption when they made that trade was that he was the Dak Prescott contingency plan. So Bubba, our resident Cowboys fan, I thought Trey Lance is basically on the team for that purpose. Why then would they also use one of the draft picks they have in this year's class, by the way, on a roster that's fairly shallow right now, to bring in another quarterback?
Yeah, that is the big question. I personally would at least like to see, have some indication of what Trey Lance can do. I mean, I can't imagine he's just going to be a third-string quarterback forever, right? I mean, I assume he's got some talent, so yeah, that's the question. I was going back, and since 2000, the Cowboys have drafted six quarterbacks. First, Quincy Carter, who was pretty decent, and then he had some issues. Then another guy who basically was a wide receiver. But apart from that, they actually been pretty decent because it was Dak. They actually drafted Mike White, too, who obviously wasn't with the Cowboys. But they've actually had some pretty good success of drafting quarterbacks. So I would prefer they actually do draft someone too, and in a later round, and just kind of and develop them over time, because I think they have had success. If you look at Quincy Carter, obviously Dak, Mike White, that's three of six who are at least serviceable quarterbacks. Obviously Dak being very good, the other ones being Stephen McGee and Ben DiNucci, who are obviously not as good. But I mean, three out of six is pretty good.
So. All right. So then, if I pose this hypothetical for you, if I said to you that the starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys in 2025 will either be Trey Lance or a player drafted in this year's draft, which one is more likely?
Trey Lance, probably.
I would think Trey Lance, too. I think Bubba's right about this. The Cowboys.
So then why would they consider drafting a quarterback this year? I don't disagree with Schefter's thought process. I'm saying that if you guys are looking at it, and it's not his thought process, it's his reporting, obviously, in this case, that if you guys are looking at it saying, well, maybe don't use a pick on a quarterback because Trey Lance, in essence, is your developmental quarterback slash maybe your bridge quarterback, that why not surround Dak and the current team with more talent out of the second or third round of this draft, even the later rounds of this draft, that maybe somebody can be a contributor at a non-QB position? Because if you need a QB and you need that QB to be developmental under the age of 25, 26, you already paid for that QB by way of the fourth-round pick with Trey Lance.
I mean, Trey Lance would theoretically be way more developed than a person we're drafting right now in the fourth round or whatever. So
theoretically,
So
I mean, he's still 23 years old and has very few like high level snaps under his belt. Trey Lance was drafted as a project and remains a project. Evan, I happen to agree with you. I think the Cowboys would be best served backfilling their roster. Right now, they have four neutrals or negatives along their offensive line. That's a major problem. They have a number of holes along the spine of their defense. They obviously are replacing their defensive coordinator, Dan Quinn, who I thought did a fairly good job in that role. They have a lot of work to do. I'm not so sure that you can waste a pick, for lack of a better term, on a potential quarterback or a long-term answer at quarterback when you have those holes on your roster, especially when you consider the Trey Lance of it all. Now, the reason why Shefty may have said what Shefty said is that every organization in the NFL has a big scouting department. There might be a quarterback or two that might be available for the Cowboys later in the draft that they just happen to really like, and that's the thing that the public often forgets. We just say, should they draft a quarterback? What teams are asking themselves is, if this particular player is available, that we have a high grade on him, we should draft him, because that, you know what? That is what smart teams do, because they draft quarterbacks when they don't need one.
Wow. You're just basically relitigating why the Pats drafted Brady. They didn't want to draft another quarterback.
Interesting.
They had Bledsoe. They had Damon Heward, who was a competent backup. They just happened to like that specific guy and didn't think that specific guy was going to be there at that specific time. Yes, Cam.
Yeah. Trey Lance next year is going to be in the fourth year of his career. Would they not need to pick up his option for him to even be on the team in 25?
Well, you could do the Jordan Love-like extension.
But why would they do that if they don't have any idea of what he is?
Well, tell me what the number would be before I would tell you they wouldn't go.
It certainly wouldn't be the same number as Love, but you'd have to have like a big amount of confidence in him to make, you know, even a one-year deal.
This is not easy to look up immediately, but we have Hembo here, who may be on high heat at some point on MLB Network.
That's up to you.
Yeah. It's not up to me in
it's
any way, shape, or form.
Up to you in all ways, shape,
not
or form.
Not at all. But anyway.
No pressure.
Has there ever been a top three quarterback drafted that through, how many years has he played in this league, Trey Lance?
Four? Three.
Three?
He's going into his fourth in 2024.
Through 3 years, has started four games or less for two teams total.
Cam, put me on the clock.
Let me make sure I'm asking the question properly, because what Cam said led me to this point of why are we even thinking about this guy when clearly he has proven to obviously not be that good?
Yeah, the thing with Jordan Love is the Packers didn't give up on him.
Like, no.
The 49ers have already given up on Trey Lance, and he's not even
the Cowboys' backup.
He's the third string behind Cooper Rush, so the Packers clearly saw a lot more in Jordan Love than anyone sees in Trey Lance, so I don't see why it would make sense for them to bank on a one-year deal for him to be their bridge at this point. They have no idea what he is.
Right, so we're talking about a quarterback that was drafted number three overall, that has had 3 years in the NFL and has started less than five games and has played for two teams. That is unheard of, unless it's heard of.
So I went back 30 years for this because there's no reason for me to look up players in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. So I looked up since 1990, so 34 years. Fewest pass attempts by quarterback drafted in the top three through their first three seasons, exactly like you just said.
Well, I said for two teams, though.
Even so, Trey Lance has attempted 102 passes. Everyone else that fits this description has attempted at least 400. So he is the least experienced top three quarterback through
ever.
3 years in the last 30 years. Let me look up ever now.
Well, no, hold on. Who's after him?
After him, I see Akili Smith.
He unfortunately failed.
Heath Shuler.
Same thing. He was not a top three pick. He was a top three pick? I thought he was a top five pick.
He was the third pick in 94. Ryan Leaf, Jamarcus Russell, Zach Wilson, Vince Young. We're talking about some pretty rough
quarterbacks. Well, these guys
played
themselves out of the league.
True.
But played, at least. And I am...
Trey Lance practiced himself out of, like, a team.
Well, that is the point, right? That's the point that you just said right there, that when we're talking about the NFL draft coming up in a couple of weeks, and we are defaulting to the Cowboys not being one of those sneaky teams that may draft someone because of Trey Lance, what would give us the impression that he can do anything, unfortunately? And by the way, Kyle Shanahan is an amazing developer of quarterbacks, may not be an amazing evaluator of quarterbacks. Because if they gave up an arm and a leg to get him, what is that? And by the way, and this is what the Patriots always say, passed on Brock Purdy as many times as they did, you're not great at evaluating it. You're great at developing.
By the way, I will always believe that he wanted to draft Mac Jones at 3.
Okay, even so.
Mac Jones would have been perfectly successful in San Francisco, don't you think so?
I don't think so.
You don't think he could have done something approximating what Brock Purdy has?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Watch every game he's played. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. There's just no other way of looking at it. We are Greeny, presented by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com. Hembo's going to give us an update on the Masters in a second here. But in terms of looking at the draft, again, less than 2 weeks away, other teams that could be sneaky QB teams in the first round of the draft, I'll just run through a few of them. And sneaky has to be, we haven't mentioned them for a QB, okay? Chris Canty on our show on Sportsmanlike constantly says the Jets should be in that conversation. I agree with them. Nobody actually thinks they are. I think the Saints should draft a quarterback if one of the top five guys are available.
It's a good thought.
Is that considered a sneaky QB team?
I think so. They pick at 14 and 45. Derek Carr is the definition of average and has a fairly fatty contract. I could see them doing it. I could see them doing it.
16, Seattle.
I love that one.
And I would have done it last year.
I love that one, especially considering who they just hired to be their offensive coordinator. Ryan Grubb from the University of Washington. Michael Penix, available from the University of Washington. We'll know everything we need to know about what that guy thinks of his quarterback at 16. Now, 16's awfully rich. Awfully rich to draft Michael Penix Jr.
He may be off the board by then. What do you mean awfully
rich?
No.
I don't think
the Raiders could take him at 13. I do.
I think in many cases, we clump quarterbacks together. When in reality...
There's too much clumping?
I think there's too much clumping. Like,
well, why are we clumping so much?
Look at last year, for example. Like, I considered... Was that a joke? I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Did you just think the word clumping is funny?
It's a fun
word.
Or
is there some sort of Seinfeld reference here for which I'm not aware?
No, you don't find clump to be a fun word? Like, when you're saying... Hey,
clump?
Clump's a fun word to say. I find clump to be fun.
You find clump to be fun?
You find light your rocket to be fun.
Yeah, I sure do. By the way, I got a lot of affirmation on that from others who have heard that phrase in a non-inappropriate way. Like, light my rocket.
And where
like,
do they do stats?
Oh, he really lights my rocket. No, I will say this, Cam. The way that I said that about Jackson Holliday's swing decisions was a tad bit suggestive. Oh, he really lights my rocket.
Listen to the breathing in that one.
Right. It's a little more than suggestive. Play it one more time. Oh, he really lights my rocket. Yeah, I think we're going to have to take that one back. We're going to have to pull that one off the board because I'm made uncomfortable by myself saying that way.
So you're
about
really
a 19-year-old shortstop.
So the clumping that you think is going is because of the fact that J.J. McCarthy's moving up the draft board and we're going to kind of clump Michael Penix and Bo Nix to J.J. McCarthy as he's going up there, or even those three to the big three in quarterbacks that you just think everybody's pushed higher than they should.
Here's what I'm going to do in the break. I'm going to look up, let's say, quarterbacks in the last 10 to 15 years. And I'm willing to guess or bet that the majority of them that are drafted in round one go very early in round one. And that's because I think we naturally...
Obviously, we have a two-time MVP that was drafted with the last pick in the first round.
You used one example.
Lamar Jackson.
An anecdote. I want to look up in the entire list of quarterbacks drafted in round one. And my guess is that we're going to find that we have a good number of them drafted in the top 5 to 10 because it's an inflated position. And then there's probably going to be a pretty sizable gap from, let's say, 10 to 30-ish in terms of very light in that respect. Because any first-round quarterback with a grade is going to get drafted super high. And then I'm guessing that there's quarterbacks drafted at the very end of the first round, like you just said, to pick up that option. But that's research I'm going to do right now.
It sounds like they're all clumped together is how I would look at that.
Clump.
Before we get to the trivia, can we get a Masters leaderboard?
Please? Yes, Masters leaderboard. So, again, Bryson DeChambeau at 7-under. He tees off at 11:54 this morning Eastern time. Scottie Scheffler at 6-under. He tees off at 1:48. Amongst guys that are out on the course right now, we got Nikolai Hogarth at 5-under. Really, really hit the ball well yesterday. We also have Max Homa at 5-under, kind of the people's champ. He seems to be a player that, at least in watching in day one, the patrons are really getting behind Max Homa. And then Danny Willett at 4-under. He tees off at 11:30. And the last thing, of course, because I do work for
Tiger
ESPN.
Tiger Woods, 1-over, 8 shots back.
I'm obligated for the Tiger Woods update.
Is that obligated? You should have led with that.
Tiger Woods.
Yes, he's more important than whoever's leading.
Yeah, but he's not winning.
We're all winning because he's playing.
I'm going down the leaderboard.
Wow, what a
here.
Line.
You didn't let me finish my update.
I was done with you.
Okay, so next time I'm leading with Tiger Woods.
All right, Sneaky Hembo Trivia.
Sneaky Hembo Trivia. The Heisman Trophy dates back to the year 1935. Which NFL franchise has drafted the most Heisman-winning quarterbacks? The NFL franchise that has drafted the most Heisman-winning quarterbacks? That's the question.
We'll get that answer. And it's official from the school itself. John Calipari's replacement has been found. We'll get into that next. It's Greeny on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Greeny, the podcast.
Wow, okay, and how are your trivia skills?
This is Sneaky Himbo Trivia.
Regular sneaky or extra sneaky?
Back on Greeny, ESPN Radio. Your Sneaky Himbo Trivia question today is this. All right, the Heisman Trophy dates back to the year 1935. And the question is, which NFL franchise has drafted the most Heisman-winning quarterbacks? That's the question.
Okay. A long time ago, Evan going in for Greeny today. Are we doing it as a group?
You don't seem to love the question. I like a little more room enthusiasm.
I got to be honest with you on something. I messed up. When you said it the first time, I didn't pick up on the quarterback part. I've been thinking about non-quarterbacks the entire time.
Really?
Yeah, so I screwed this one up already.
Not good.
Yeah, not good.
That's
even
unhelpful.
Clarified it in the break.
Oh,
I thought everyone heard that.
As I said, I screwed up. Nobody else did, just me. All right, are we doing this as a family?
No, this is solo.
Oh, this is a solo. This is not group trivia. So you will start, Evan.
I will start. I didn't even know what the question
having
was.
Having given this considerable thought, I can start by saying this. Brandon has guessed the Cleveland Browns. Jack, Pineapple Jack, has guessed the Titans. So those are the first two guesses.
Titans/Oilers, he said.
Mm-hmm. Franchise.
I'm going to go with the Cincinnati Bengals.
Cincinnati Bengals. Three different guesses so far. Bubba, Cam, what do you got?
Yeah, the two names that just popped up were one of the Bengals and Browns. I have no idea. I can just basically think of like one of each. So I'll go first one I thought of was Bengals, so I'll stick with the Bengals.
And Cam, what do you got?
I'm going to go with the Rams for literally no reason, but that's what I'm going with.
Great reasoning.
All right. So we are smattered across the board.
Does anyone have it right?
Yes, uh-oh. One of you has it right.
Oh,
the correct answer is the Rams.
Yeah!
Oh, my God.
I knew it.
For what no reason at all. Cam,
the whole
Cam Bradford.
How many can you name, Cam?
Oh, sorry.
How many can you name, Cam?
I think it was Bradford. That was the only one I thought
there
of.
There are five more.
Can you tell them to me?
No, hold on. Rams draft picks that won the Heisman Trophy at the quarterback position.
They could have drafted them anywhere.
Goff did not win.
Goff did not win. I clarified.
They draft Eric Crouch?
They drafted Eric Crouch in the year 2001. That's a good pull.
You're right, it is.
A lot of these guys have done it. Were drafted a long time ago.
Sonny Jurgensen?
So I'll give you the list.
No. Is it that long ago?
I mean, like,
will we get any of the other ones?
You might get one more.
Jim Everett?
No, he didn't win that.
Not Jim Everett. Let me give you the years. 1984. You can get this one. You can get 1984.
Ty Detmer.
No, that's
no.
After
Why did I think Sonny Jurgensen played for the Rams? Terrible job.
1984.
Rams quarterback drafted in 1984 that won the Heisman.
Let me see what round it was, because I don't have any recollection of this. Let's see here.
This was
the 285th pick.
What school?
Boston College.
Doug Flutie?
The Rams drafted Doug Flutie.
What?
And then he went to the CFL?
I had no recollection of that. The rest of these are pretty ancient. Gary Beben out of Oregon State in 1967.
Of course. GB?
Terry Baker was the Oregon State in 1962, and then Les Horvath in 1944, right before the end of the war.
You're a big Les Horvath guy?
Yeah.
That's the one that I feel like you have notes on.
He has...
That's like the reason for asking the question, is really bringing out Les Horvath.
A beautiful slot fade. This was probably also before the forward pass.
You also have to update us on something else. You were doing some research on the quarterback.
Oh, yes.
The clumping of quarterbacks.
Yes, and this research study proved out to be correct. So I went back to 2002, which is just a good cutoff point, because that's when the league expanded to 32 teams by adding the Texans. So there have been 67 quarterbacks drafted in round one since 2002.
Right.
16 of them are the first overall pick. I'm sure you're not surprised to hear that that's very common. More than half... Much more than half of the quarterbacks, of those 67, were picked inside the top 10. In fact, 42 of 67 quarterbacks drafted in round one since 2002 were drafted inside the top 10. Two-thirds. Again, reinforcing my theory that quarterbacks often overdrafted. If you go from pick 11 to pick to the second-to-last pick in the first round, you get 22 more out of the 67, and then there are three quarterbacks drafted with the very last pick in the first round, of course, because they get to pick up the fifth-year option. Patrick Ramsey, Teddy Bridgewater, and Lamar Jackson. So it was.
But I would need to know, okay, in order for this to be a really kind of vetted process here, what I'd like to know
is if
you're telling me 42 of 67 quarterbacks since 2002, or 67 quarterbacks in the first round since 2002, 42 of them top 10. I need to know who the other 25 are to determine whether or not drafting a quarterback outside of the top 10 really makes sense.
Let's go through the list quick, and you're going to give me yes, no, in terms of
was it a good pick? And we're going to get to Kentucky, and they're higher just in a little bit here.
Yeah, that's a fascinating topic.
We'll just go
yes, no, starting with pick
2002.
Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, that's a win.
Jay Cutler.
That's a win.
Justin Fields.
That's a loss.
Christian Ponder.
Loss.
Deshaun Watson.
Win.
Dwayne Haskins.
May he rest in peace. Loss.
Mac Jones.
Loss.
EJ Manuel.
Loss.
Josh Freeman.
Loss.
Joe Flacco.
Win.
Kyle Bowler.
Loss.
Kenny Pickett.
Loss.
Brady Quinn.
Loss. I like Brady, but loss.
Brandon Whedon.
Loss.
JP Lossman.
Loss.
Johnny Manziel.
Loss.
Rex Grossman.
He got to a Super Bowl. I have to say that's a win.
Aaron Rodgers.
What's the next one? No, I'm just kidding.
Jason Campbell.
He was good. He wasn't bad at all.
Tim Tebow.
They won a playoff game, but probably, yeah, not ideal.
Jordan Love.
Huge win.
And Paxton Lynch.
So the lesson here, well, you didn't bring up Lamar and any of those guys.
Les Horvath, by the way, was a running back.
He was not a running back. Les Horvath, his modern position is a quarterback. We're going back so far that he was considered a running back or halfback in college. He was considered a quarterback in terms of the modern position that he played.
I mean, he never threw a pass in the NFL.
Lamar Jackson.
Uh-oh.
Les Horvath never threw a pass in the NFL?
No.
Let me look. Then he must have been a quarterback in college. Again, this was 1944.
He has way more rushing stats in college than passing stats.
Of course, because that's all they did then. Cam was to run the ball.
Crappy quarterback.
I'm going to check with the Heisman Trust, and you'll find out next who's right.
Hembo may be wrong. It's Greeny on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN, and also available wherever you get your podcasts.